What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great episode of FTN Fantasy Show. It's your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy HQ. You see the face, you know the case. My guy, Matt Okada, co-pilot of this ship. Actually, of this airplane. Is there a co-pilot for a ship? What do you call
a first somebody mate?
First mate. I like that.
Or a navigator okay, or something.
We'll go with it. We'll work on it. It's in the workshop. But again, we are here again for another great episode. And this is the episode we are praying Travion Henderson breaks out, because Okada, I gotta tell you, I am nearing crash out levels. If this boy does not break out this week, we're gonna have an issue, but we'll get to him in a bit. But man, I'm gonna kick things off. There was a trade, a very, very big trade that saved some fantasy managers' season. Joe Flacco is now a Cincinnati Bengal, man. I mean, a short drive. I mean, he didn't have to go far. I mean, that was what, less than a $200 flight probably for him in economy, but Joe Flacco was traded. So does this bring back the hope, the energy for all the folks out there who have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins going forward?
Oh, boy. Well,
I don't like that old boy.
Listen.
What the heck happened?
Oh, I'm back.
Why are you running? Don't run away from the question, bro. Try to leave. I'm keeping that, by the way.
What?
Try to get away from the question. Folks all that right. are listening, Okada left the stage completely. I'm like, where did he go?
So
I'm like,
I don't know what just happened. Avoiding
this. You ain't avoiding this question, bro. You need to help some folks out, because I have my opinions.
The only reason I would ever run from this question is because I think it is a fake question. The question is Joe Flacco, who is so much better than Jake Browning, going to save these wide receivers? The reason it's a fake question, Laquan, is because Joe Flacco has been the worst quarterback in the entire league this year, outside of potentially just Cam Ward. So has Jake Browning been awful? Yes, absolutely. But if you look at any metric in which Jake Browning is right there at the bottom of the league, you know who else you'll find right next to him? Joe Flacco and Cam Ward.
Yikes. Big yikes.
I have zero trust in Joe Flacco to save anybody's season. Now, if you look at the wide receivers for the Browns, does that give you any hope? No, doesn't give me any hope. Jerry Jeudy didn't do anything. Cedric Tillman wasn't really doing anything. I know we have this old mindset or old concept of Joe Flacco as this like elite Pro Bowl level, Super Bowl winning slinger, ball slinger.
Yeah.
I just don't know that he is that anymore. He's terrible. He cannot work behind it a dysfunctional offensive line. There are some quarterbacks in this league who work well behind dysfunction, or like better than most, at least, behind dysfunctional offensive lines. Spoiler alert, a 40-year-old dude who's never had any mobility is not one of those guys, and particularly not one who's now just now learning an offense. So, you know, if he had an offseason in a Kyle Shanahan offense behind a really bad offensive line, I might have some faith that he could dish the ball out real quick and handle it. That's not the case here. I think Joe Flacco is going to get obliterated. I think he's going to be basically the same exact thing as Jake Browning. And I think that Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are going to keep being what they've been so far, which is T. Higgins is completely unplayable, and Ja'Marr Chase is mostly unplayable unless he has a couple of really huge plays in the fourth quarter that both happen to go for touchdowns.
Exactly. Nail on the head, folks. Okada just covered all the bases. The O-line is trash. I mean, look, you look at all the bad metrics. Jake Browning, Joe Flacco, they're holding hands. I honestly think that, you know, this gives me a little bit more hope for Chase, at least, but T. Higgins to me still doesn't give me that promise I can get full return in a week to make him win my week. But moving on to LA, this one hurt. I'm sick and tired of injuries, man. Turn them off. Marvin Hampton goes down, placed on IR. Who's the next man up, Okada? This has been the hot topic all week, man. Waiver wires have been buzzing. I've seen guys drop 25 to 30% of fab on Hassan Haskins. I've seen guys drop numerous of running backs where I'm seeing them fall to the waiver wire for Kamani Vidal. What is the answer to this hard question, man? Is it Kamani Vidal or Hassan Haskins this week against the Dolphins?
Amusingly, Laquan, the hype throughout all the fantasy streets this week has been over these two questions. And in my opinion, both of them are fake questions.
Wow, why, you ask? Fake questions.
Why? This is why. Because there is no next man singular up in Los Angeles. Now, I know Jim Harbaugh wants to run his offense through a bell cow running back. It's kind of his thing. It's what he's done. It ain't happening with this duo. And by the way, it's not even just a duo anymore. They went out and added Nyheim Hines. So this is a full split committee. Maybe they'll ride the hot hand week to week, but I don't think you're ever going to know who the hot hand is going in. If you forced me, if you said I have to start one of these two this week, the first week without Hampton, who would I start? I would lean Vidal. And that's like mostly off of vibes and versatility. And that's kind of it. Like if you would prefer to go with the thumper that might have a more reliable carry floor, then it would be Hassan Haskins. If you are taking a guess at who scores a goal line touchdown, which honestly might be the only way either of these guys is viable, I would probably lean Hassan Haskins. But if I'm looking for the guy who I think might have some more explosive plays, it's definitely going to be Kimani Vidal. What it is going to be is neither of these, in my opinion, with any confidence. I would not roll any of them out into a starting lineup unless you are desperate. I think you're taking major shots in the dark if you do that. I just, these neither of these guys are starting caliber NFL running backs.
Come on, Okada. Some of us are down bad in the fantasy streets, man. Like, I gotta feel a little bit more confident. Like, really down bad. I mean, it's honestly looking real nasty. Like, Chuba Hubbard hasn't returned back to full form yet. He's returning back from injury this week. I do think that he's going to be limited. I got guys like Tony Pollard that's doing absolutely nothing with his opportunities. Losing James Conner was a huge blow. So we are down to Kimani Vidal, Hassan Haskins, because Amarian Hampton went down. Bro, I do think at the end of the day, you're rolling the dice with both of these guys. I don't think either of them are going to give you that Michael Carter, Rico Dowdle type of like blow up game. I do think the matchup is there for them to be successful. But like Okada said, it's definitely going to be a 1-2 punch. And this is a backfield that ain't scared to split because obviously they started the season with Najee Harris and Amarian Hampton. So it's always been a 2-man system. So expectations definitely need to be in order. Now to the crash out. I will lose my mind, Okada, if Ramondre Stevenson outsnaps, outperforms, out anything, then Travion Henderson this week. Like, it has to be this week, right? Like, there's no other week. They got the Saints this week, folks. Like, I have to really evaluate his roster status after this week if I get anything less than 10 fantasy points this week. So what are we doing, Okada? Is this week the week for Travion Henderson?
Do you have Mike Vrabel's phone number
or Josh McDaniels? I absolutely don't.
Okay. Well, then it's hopeless. I cannot give you any sort of reasonable answer because the only way to answer that question would be to call up Mike Vrabel and or Josh McDaniels and say, yo, what is going on here? When are you going to get your highly drafted, explosive, talented second round rookie running back involved in this offense over this bumbling idiot who fumbles the ball more than anyone else in the league? Listen, as a Patriots fan, you're sending me on rants today, Laquan. This is not good.
Yes, I love it.
As a Patriots fan, I hate this situation. The worst part of it is that it's kind of working. Like, Ramondre scoring touchdowns, so it's hard to take him out near the goal line. He's, like, not been terrible when he doesn't fumble. But then he goes and fumbles, and they still don't bench him, and I don't understand that. I think we're stuck in a very bad, I'm an old-school coach, and rookies have to earn their stripes before I'm going to put them in the lineup.
Why does that sound like Bill Belichick? The ghost
that's
of Bill
exactly
Belichick's
the problem. Yes, exactly. These guys are Bill Belichickian students who think that, for some reason, rookies have to earn their keep. I don't know why. Because if you look around the league at all the rookie running backs who were dominating or rookie wide receivers, look at Emeka Ibuka. Are you telling me he has to earn his keep? No. He's a dominant offensive explosive piece. Use your pieces that you drafted and put him in the lineup. With all that rant being said, Laquan, I have no confidence it's going to happen this week. Because because Ramondre Stevenson, who led the league in fumbles last year, has fumbled multiple times this year in the last couple weeks. Antonio Gibson has gone out with injury, and they've still not committed to Travion Henderson. I will believe that Travion Henderson is getting the role 1 or 2 weeks after I see it for the first time. Then I'll believe. Until then, I'm not putting Ramondre Stevenson in my lineup if I can help it. And I am Travion Henderson in my lineup if I can help it. And I am putting Ramondre Stevenson in my lineup because they're just like the fact that they're this committed to him through the fumbles means that when he doesn't fumble, he's going to be the clear-cut RB1 there.
The most annoying thing is to look at the production, right? On a full season scale, the last 3 weeks. But I really want to look at the last 3 weeks because that's when the chaos and debacle has happened. When you look at the scrimmage yards, you have Ramondre Stevenson with 124 scrimmage yards, 3.5 yards per carry, right? And then you look at Travion Henderson. He has 120 scrimmage yards, 3.5 yards per carry. This is the issue I think nobody's really talking about. Travion Henderson, with his limited opportunities, aren't actually pulling away with the job. They're both playing over 40% of the snaps. Antonio Gibson wasn't that annoying enough to get over 20% of the snaps. So I'm looking at this whole situation. It's like, I want to see the guy that we saw in preseason run back that 100-yard kick return. I want to see the guy that all the clips due to practice, you know, the beat reporters were putting on our timelines in the fantasy street, seeing him explosive up the sideline. I want to see that guy. Even in terms of how they're being used in the passing game is very similar. But Stevenson has broke off more big runs in open space than Henderson, believe it or not. I need to see this guy unleashed this week before I put him in starting lineups. I am co-signing this with you, Okada, because it's like I can't keep rolling a guy out. It's like the same story with RJ Harvey. We cannot keep rolling these guys out because we are strapped to summer hype. I refuse to be hostage for something that I saw in August pop off of my timeline. I refuse to be held hostage because of a top prospect rookie name just because I drafted him so high. It's fine, folks. Put him on the bench until proven otherwise. And Stevenson, to me, like Okada said, he's a flex because he's giving you flex numbers. And that's all you want is the opportunity to get that guy in your starting lineup just to put up 10 fantasy points or more. So at the end of the day, I think we're going to end up crashing out after this week because Travion Henderson will not break out. I literally said this last week, though. If they don't give him the opportunity after these fumbles, chalk it up. It's never going to happen. It's going to be him and Stevenson for the rest of the season. I just feel it in my gut. And you're a Patriots fan. That feels disgusting. I am so disgusted. I need to go to the bathroom right now and throw up because I don't want to even talk about this anymore. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. And we're back. So last week, Okada, we had some fun with some fantasy there. So that had some good feedback, you know, from the timelines as well. The fantasy streets, man, they liked that little this or that, what we were doing with Darren Waller. But we are back again. For a wide receiver and running back condition where we're going to kick off this segment. I do think this segment is very helpful for some folks because some of these folks are in these exact situations. And I want to start. Would you add Kendrick Bourne off the waiver wire this week, right? To drop Juwan Jennings or Jerry Jeudy? Let's double up on this one because I want to double up because these two are very interesting wide receivers because they're essentially the ones of their team. So let's start. Kendrick Bourne, Juwan Jennings.
I would drop Jerry Jeudy for Kendrick Bourne. I would not drop Juwan Jennings for Kendrick Bourne.
Let's put a pin in it.
Okay.
Put a pin in it. Okay. I did this purposely because they're on the same team. Both act. They have the mask. The Scooby-Doo mask is on as the wide receiver one. This is the exact situation some folks are in right now this week. Juwan Jennings is trending towards getting more healthy, but Kendrick Bourne has that connection with Mac Jones. True. So explain a little bit with this Kendrick Bourne and Juwan Jennings situation.
I believe that this offense and Kyle Shanahan's system works with whatever pieces you put into the various spots. We've seen it with Mac Jones. We saw it when Kendrick Bourne became the wide receiver one because nobody else was there. When Juwan, I don't think that was a reflection on Kendrick Bourne being an unbelievable wide receiver that has therefore played his way into being the wide receiver one on this team. I believe that when Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall are back, Kendrick Bourne will go back to being what he was, which is not much of anything, not even on this team. Juwan Jennings to me is clearly a step or three above Kendrick Bourne on the depth chart when everyone is healthy. And I think he'll be healthy in the not too distant future. So I'm betting on the soon to be healthy version of Juwan Jennings being more valuable rest of the season than Kendrick Bourne.
All right. Let's keep going. Juwan Jennings, Keon Coleman.
Yeah, those are incredibly similar. Yes. I will go Juwan Jennings there by a hair.
Juwan Jennings, Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp's started to look a little interesting these last couple of weeks. I'll stick with Juwan Jennings, though.
All right. All right. Juwan Jennings or Troy Franklin?
Juwan Jennings.
Easy. That one, I kind of sided with you on that one, too. Juwan Jennings, Elik Iomanner.
Juwan Jennings, but if Cam Ward figures out how to throw the football, Elik Iomanner's air yards are going to make him a wide receiver two at some point.
High-end wide receiver two. I'm on board for it, man. I honestly, personally, if I had to chime in on this one, I would go Elik Iomanner over Juwan Jennings.
Ooh.
I think Juwan Jennings right now is dealing with multiple injuries because he was dealing with multiple injuries in the summer and then picked up new ones. So I think he's trying to play for that incentive on his contract that they just readjusted before the season started because he wants to be looked at paid like a wide receiver one, but he's going to go out there banged up just to show his worth and reliability being that, you know, Brandon Ayuk, he's banged up right now. There's no timeline for it. I just think he's going to be less productive, less impactful as he was last season versus this season dealing with injuries. So Elik Iomanner, you hit the nail on the head. Cam Ward and them figure it out, which they did last week. Right?
A little bit. 5.0 yards. Yes.
Yep. 5.0 yards per play. That was the best they've had all season long. They had three games with less than four. So with that said, things are on the trending up for Elik Iomanner. That's the only one that I would push back on. Everybody else, they can get chopped. They can get you.
Okay.
I love that. What you got for me, though, for the running backs?
All right. This is another one of the hot names this week.
Hot.
We mentioned in passing earlier, Michael Carter. This is last week's Kamani Vidal and Hassan Haskins. But we've seen it now for 1 week, and it was Michael Carter by a significant margin in Arizona. So, Michael Carter or Kenneth Gainwell, the last time we saw him, was balling out. With Jaylen Warren missing, of course.
That's what it is, though. I think Jaylen Warren's on the return back. I do think that is going to be a split backfield, so I'm going to go Michael Carter.
Okay. Sticking with Michael Carter or maybe the best handcuff in the league, Tyler Allgeier.
Ooh. This guy's been putting up double-digit fantasy points and double-digit carries, man, the last couple of games.
He gets like 10-plus carries almost every week. It's crazy.
Ooh, I like this one. I'm going to go Tyler Allgeier over Carter.
Okay, I like that. Tyler Allgeier or less reliable but more exciting, Bashaul Tutin.
Tyler Allgeier. And it's close, but not really, because I think Travis Etienne has shown and proven he could be a workhorse, and Tutin's only getting into... Let him get a breather. So, yeah, I think Allgeier.
Okay. Tyler Allgeier, sticking with Tyler Allgeier, or Isaiah Pacheco.
Whoo, big jersey, man. I love my guys that are from New Jersey, man. I love to support him, but he's got to get chopped.
Yeah, it's rough. You guys, everybody, you can drop Isaiah Pacheco. We're there. Stop holding on.
I feel like a lot of folks are holding on because they're waiting for Rashid Rice coming back. But I'm looking at this like, what does him getting back do for this offense for the run game? Like, nothing. Like, they still haven't figured it out. Like, we've seen Breshard Smith, Kareem Hunt now. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's not happening. I just don't see how it could happen. All right, last one. Tyler Allgeier or now maybe returning from injury, previously the starting running back before he got hurt, Tyrone Tracy Jr. in New York, or has he just straight up lost a job to Cam Skadovic?
Ooh, I think that the culture has shifted completely now that Jackson Dart is in the starting lineup. That backfield looks like it's Cam Scadaboo's backfield, man. He is producing a lot of fantasy points, man. He's producing the same amount of fantasy points as a Quinshon Judkins. Like, just to have them in comparison in terms of yards after contact, yards before contact, this guy can work in extreme conditions. I don't know if a Tyrone Tracy will be as effective behind this banged up, terrible. You would think it's banged up. It's actually not. It's a sober, healthy offensive line that the Giants have. It's just completely garbage. So I don't know if Tyrone Tracy could work in extreme conditions like a Cam Scadaboo. So sorry, Tracy, you got to get the cut.
All right. Just out of curiosity, since we lost him to Tyler Allgeier early on, do you have Michael Carter over the rest of these guys besides Allgeier?
No. Ooh, actually.
How low do you have? Do you hate Michael Carter?
I don't hate Michael Carter. Put it like this. I would keep Tyrone Tracy over Michael Carter. Here's why. Okay. Trey Benson will be back this season. He's not done completely, right? Amari DiMercato, right? We've seen that situation. Selfish, but he was punished, or he won't be as punished as hard as we would think, because Jonathan Gannon was fined $100K. So all eyes are on him. And we got that video, brother. That looked kind of nasty. So I do think all eyes will be on him to where he gets back involved eventually. Give it 2 weeks, right? I think Tootin can go. Pacheco can go. But what it comes down to, honestly, it's like, man, Kenneth Gainwell, to me, with Jaylen Warren coming back, it just feels like it's not going to be what we got before the bye, you know?
I could not agree with you more, Laquan. Michael Carter is the most overhyped player in fantasy right now, coming off of last week. Yeah. He was not that good against a Titans defense that has been very, very soft to running backs. He was quite inefficient. He happened to score a touchdown. He had 15 carries. No, 18 carries. Do you know why he had 18 carries, Laquan? Because the Cardinals were beaten on the Titans all game until the end, when they just threw everything away, because the Cardinals are perhaps the worst run
most
and worst organization in football. Yes, they're terrible. Fire Jonathan Gannon, you idiots. It's not hard. This is the easiest decision in the NFL right now. Fire Jonathan Gannon. They have won 2 games this year, Laquan. They were against the Saints, which they won by 7 points. And they were against the Panthers, which they won by 5 points.
Ugh.
So they barely beat 2 of the worst teams in the NFL. And then they lost to arguably the worst team in the NFL last week. They are trash. They are not going to have the lead like this almost ever. And Michael Carter was not that efficient with the carries he got because they had that lead. All of this Michael Carter hype, everybody thinking they need to start Michael Carter now, throw it in the trash. He's going to be bad this week, in my opinion. Major bust. Don't even start him. And then Trey Benson's going to be back in a couple weeks, and I think everybody's forgotten that. So I massively agree with you on this one. I would actually keep everybody in this list over Michael Carter.
Wow. Alrighty then. I like it. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, recollect. We got quarterbacks, tight ends, but this is going to be start. And we are back. Would you start? Little this or that for fantasy, a segment that we've been having a lot of fun on the social medias. I think this one is a tough one for me, honestly. So I'm going to tee it. I'm not going to have you tee this to me, because we'll be here for another 20 minutes trying to figure this out. But Sam Darnold, man, would you start Sam Darnold right now in this scenario? These guys are on your bench. These are options to just swap the spot for him, right? Would you start Sam Darnold versus the Jags or Kyler Murray versus the Colts?
I will. Kyler Murray has not really shown a ceiling yet this year, but I know that he has that ceiling somewhere, and his floor to me in this game is in this matchup is better than Sam Darnold's floor against what has been a pretty good defense. I will go Kyler Murray here.
Kyler Murray for the win. So we're sticking with Kyler. Would you go Kyler Murray versus the Colts or Trevor Mid-Lawrence versus the Seahawks?
Oh gosh. Why must you ask me these horrible things, Laquan? I will once again stick with Kyler Murray. I think his floor is better than Trevor's, and even though he hasn't shown the ceiling, I know that he has it somewhere, so I'll stick with Kyler. Both
see,
not that great a match.
That was a good choice. I'm glad you didn't dip into the middle meter.
This was a test.
I'm glad I didn't have
Where
to bring
is
it
the
out.
Middle meter at?
I have it very close. He moved up a little bit, but okay. We'll get that to another show. Kyler Murray or Bryce Young versus the Dallas Cowboys defense, man.
Bryce Young, baby. Give me that.
Listen.
Bryce Young has shown some flashes. And this Cowboys defense is booty. I am pretty sure, Laquan, that if I went out there at quarterback and had you as my wide receiver one, I could put up 15 fantasy points against this defense.
Let's go.
They are so bad. So you give me a decent quarterback who has a very good, in my opinion, wide receiver one in Tet McMillan, plus a Xavier Leggett who's kind of showed out a little bit these last few weeks. Sign me up. I'm going Bryce Young here. I really like him as a streamer.
That's actually surprising. Like, I don't know where to go after this because I thought Bryce was going to get the chop. But Bryce Young versus Dallas Cowboys defense or Mac Jones versus the Bucs?
If Mac Jones starts, it's absolutely Mac Jones. And if Brock Purdy starts, it's absolutely Brock Purdy. Although I don't think they will do that because when they tried to do it a couple weeks ago, he like re-aggravated his injury. Yeah. So if it's Mac Jones, which I expect it to be, I would absolutely go with Mac Jones. I think he is a pretty much locked and loaded top 10 quarterback running this offense.
I like that. Heck yeah. All right. Well, Mac Jones or Brock Purdy versus the Bucs or Justin Fields versus the Broncos.
Nope. Bench Justin Fields. I have written probably like a good 500 words over the last couple days, Laquan, for different places about how little I like Justin Fields against the Broncos this week. Not only are the Broncos a very, obviously very, 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 very good defense, they specifically have not allowed anyone, any quarterback to run the ball on them. 15 rushing yards to quarterbacks all season, Laquan. Not on average, not the high point by any one quarterback, all year combined, 15 rushing yards to quarterbacks. They don't let them scramble. They are going to lock down his only viable pass catcher in Garrett Wilson with Pat Surtain. I think Justin Fields is in for a world of hurt this week.
Yikes. That's frightening because I know Justin Fields is on a lot of rosters. And I still think he can have a strong fantasy season. It's just this
week, I agree.
I ain't rolling the dice, man. Let's finish up with tight ends. I'll let you tee it, man, because I love tight ends. I'm in a lot of tight end situations this week.
Okay.
So let's air it out.
We're gonna follow up on last week because we had a very interesting outcome last week with Darren Waller apparently his rap career revitalized his football career somehow. I don't know how that works.
Oh man, they got the beam on me.
Yeah, good gracious, does he look good? Trying to drop a scheme for me. Listen, Darren Waller or Mark Andrews against the Rams.
Oh man, and we're coming out firing. I want to let folks know I am a reasonable, realistic Rams fan where I know we cannot defend the tight end position. The upside is there, but the problem is that Lamar Jackson is not playing. Like, ooh. I can't see Lamar rolling out against the Rams. That pass rush is going to be having Lamar pulling his other hammy. So with Snoop Huntley or Cooper Rush, whoever it may be, I'm still going Darren Waller over Mark Andrews, even with the matchup.
Wow. Okay. I like it. Sticking with Darren Waller or Hunter Henry against the Saints.
I'd probably go Darren Waller or Hunter Henry. And it's very close. It's just that Darren Waller made us eat our words. Like my foot was in my mouth. We saw him more involved outside of the red zone. So it was just like, I honestly think him being hyper-focused of this offense might be a thing.
Yeah. With Tyreek Hill gone, I don't think I can disagree with you. He's the only other option there besides Jalen Waddle. All right.
Yeah.
Darren Waller or my preseason darling who has not been good but is kind of starting to show up, Evan Engram against the Jets.
That boy's cooked. Boyd's cooked. 12 catches, 95 yards, one touchdown in five games. Like, not I get he was banged up. Like, he hasn't carved out a role. Like, let's be honest. Like, him not having a role carved out with all this summer hype to be the Joker, like, he's competing with the Twins. In the Twins, I mean, in Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims. Like, I mean, it's Kid Trunks and Goten. If you watch Dragon Ball Z, you know they're just one of a package. And that's exactly what he's competing with to carve out a role, which I don't see. I haven't seen it. I mean, him finding the end zone is great, but it's not like he did a ton of things in that game to make us think, yeah, I'm going to start him this week. Like, nah, he gets the chop.
I am still holding out hope for Evan Engram to get fully healthy and find his place in this offense as the Joker, but not this week. And you're not starting over Darren Waller. All right,
he's the
Darren
Joker
Waller.
That we didn't like. He's the Joker in that Batman movie we didn't like.
Darren Waller, who's still hanging on in this list, or Harold Fannin Jr. against the Steelers? Oh, wait, wait. I will double this. Harold Fannin Jr. or David Njoku, you pick your favorite Browns tight end. And tell me if you take one of them or stick with Darren Waller.
Darren Waller. And here's why.
Ooh, okay.
With Dylan Gabriel now the starter, we saw somewhat of a shift of tide. Harold Fannin found the end zone, right? But the volume was following David Njoku. So I do think the shift in tides of like, hey, maybe Njoku will be this established tight end one. So therefore, with that mess, I can't decide between the two. Like, I would honestly have to go with Darren Waller in this situation just because of that.
I think this is the first one that I would probably strongly lean towards considering David Njoku over Darren Waller because of what you just said. I think that David Njoku is Dylan Gabriel's favorite target. Now, we have to see it happen a couple more times, at least one more time, before we can really know for sure. But it does look to be the case, and we know he's a good tight end. So I think that's one I would maybe take the hair, but it's close there. Last one, Darren Waller or David Njoku, whichever one between the guys we like, versus Kyle Pitts against the Bills, who have been murderous against tight ends.
My former spicy take was a top 10 grade on Kyle Pitts, which, again, it doesn't look like it's a hot take anymore. It looks like he's out there producing with volume. But if I was in this situation where it was David Njoku or Kyle Pitts, believe it or not, I would go David Njoku. And that seems nasty. I just feel like I have more trust in David Njoku in terms of catches, yards, and target volume versus Kyle Pitts. He's still trying to earn that trust. But Okada, I would take Kyle Pitts over Darren Waller in this matchup. This is a underrated sneaky sleeper matchup, right? Now, I am going to say this and hope that it hits this week so I can clip this in victory lap. I think Kyle Pitts actually comes out and be the first tight end that has faced the Bills this season to put up big double-digit tight end one numbers because those linebackers are suspect over there in Buffalo, and they're going to have to foul Kyle Pitts because Kyle Pitts lines up out wide as well. Lines up in the slot, lines up tight like a traditional tight end. This is probably the most versatile tight end they have had all season long that they have to face. Fact check me on that because I may be wrong. But I do think Kyle Pitts does show up as a sneaky sleeper this week over a Darren Waller.
I can fact check you quite quickly, Laquan, because I wrote up Kyle Pitts as a major bust this week against this defense. I would not disagree with you that he is the most versatile tight end they've faced. In fairness, he's arguably the most versatile tight end in the league. So that's usually the case. Is he the best tight end? No, but he's one of the most true receiver-esque tight ends that you'll find. That being said, I don't know if that versatility is enough. let me give you the numbers, everybody, because obviously Laquan hit on the points. They've maybe not faced someone as versatile as Kyle Pitts, but they've shut down the guys they've faced. Yeah, they've shut down the guys they've faced. The top score by a tight end against the Bills this year. 7 fantasy points by Jeremy Ruckert.
Who the hell is Jeremy Ruckert?
Exactly. If any of our listeners who aren't fans of Jeremy Ruckert's team can tell me what team he's on, I would be shocked. He, on Laquan, on one catch for a 5-yard touchdown, score 7 points. That is the high water mark by a tight end against the Bills this year. They faced Hunter Henry, Juwan Johnson, Mark Andrews, and Mason Taylor, who recently broke out. They were all massive duds against this team. I am not rolling out Kyle Pitts anywhere that I can help it. I would start everyone we listed here
over Kyle Pitts.
Maybe not Harold Fannin. Maybe not Harold Fannin. Over okay. Kyle Pitts, yes. And definitely Darren Waller.
Oh man, I hope Kyle Pitts breaks out this weekend. I'm buying tickets to the Kyle Pitts breakout game. I'm telling you now, I'll give you the reviews next week when it happens. I do think at the end of the day, though, if I'm in a situation where Kyle Pitts is my tight end one, I got to stick with it, right? I mean, the stands are out there. They're going to stand for him. They're going to rally for him and want to support him to put up big points. I'm going to be one of those folks outside doing those things for Kyle Pitts this week against the Buffalo Bills. Man, and it's prime time. God, all eyes are going to be on him. Give us a prediction. Let's roll out a prediction for Kyle Pitts versus Buffalo. Ooh. Or any prediction that you have for Buffalo in this Atlanta Falcons matchup on Monday Night Football.
6 targets, 2 catches.
For Kyle Pitts? Two?
2 catches, 19 yards, no touchdowns.
I'm writing this down on the whiteboard. I want to see this all entire weekend long on my whiteboard. 6 targets.
2 catches. Yeah, buddy. 19 yards. 19 yards. 15 of them come on one catch. Then the other one is a 4-yard catch. No touchdowns.
That's diabolical. That's diabolical. Is it in the 4th quarter also?
Probably, yes, when they're in comeback mode.
Oh my God, Okada, this has been great. I like this fantasy there today. We kind of iron out and we help the listeners and the viewers and the folks out there in the fantasy streets on decision making. Like, I think this is going to be the premise and idea of the pod to help everybody out on a week to week basis. But man, it's been a fun ride. I mean, a fun show today, man. The FTN Fantasy Show, man. Okada, you got any closing statements out here for the fantasy streets?
I am going to need to go and rest because of all the rants that I went on in this show. I don't know why
I turned
this
you up
show,
today.
Yes, I don't know why this show in particular had me so hot and bothered over so many of these things, but good gracious. Good stuff, though. We will... Oh, one quick thing. If you play Dynasty, every first Friday of the month, my Dynasty trade article here at FTN drops. So last Friday, less than a week ago, you got your first one of those of the season. So go check that out. And then every first Friday, you can swing back and check it out again.
Folks listening, hanging out with us today to wrap up the show. Listen, we're thinking about adding a mailbag. So Dynasty questions are welcome. Dynasty trades, Dynasty decisions are hard around this time in season. So folks, the up and down buy lows and sell highs or whatever the case may be in the terminology of Dynasty. I mean, Okada's the expert here. I do not like to run into Dynasty analysts because they are tryhards in my book, but I will close that out, and I don't want no smoke in my DMs from all the Dynasty folks out there. But man, it's been a great show, Okada, man. Until next week, make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, head into the ftnfantasy.com website, and I'm telling you now, there's no other website that looks as cool as ours. See you guys next week. Peace.